You found the Digging Oak Island podcast, a podcaster's journey to discover the truth behind the Oak Island mystery. My name is Dave McBride. I thank you for downloading and listening. As always, I ask that you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us if you would be so kind. And I also invite you to join me on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow the show at Digging Oak Island. I mentioned at the end of our last podcast that this week I'm actually on vacation with the family, heading hopefully to warmer weather for a bit. As a result, I'm not able to record a podcast specifically about episode 3 of season 7 of The Curse of Oak Island. I promise I'll catch up on it next week, and we will combine episodes 3 and 4 into our next podcast. But for today, I thought I'd present you with a great conversation I had with a friend of mine about Oak Island. His name is Chris Poe. He is the host of a radio show called The Bleecker Street Cafe, which airs on WDVR-FM in New Jersey. He's also my closest and oldest friend, and he is someone who has been aware of and fascinated by the Oak Island mystery literally for decades, as he will explain. In our chat, we cover a lot of subjects, including the search, some of the challenges around the show. I really do hope you enjoy it, and here you go. Have a listen. As if those of you listening to the show have known, I'm not around to watch this week's version of The Curse of Oak Island. So I didn't want to have nothing in the feed for you. So I brought in a friend of mine, radio personality, let me give you a little full disclosure.
Please give me the full disclosure, because I have no idea where you're going with this.
My friend here, Chris Poe, heard that I was doing a Oak Island podcast and then proceeded to spend 10 minutes yelling at me for not having him do the Oak Island podcast with me.
I don't believe that I've ever raised my voice
in
my life.
Maybe yelling is the wrong term.
No. The bottom line is I didn't realize that you were a fan of the show, and as I am, although I have some mixed emotions about my fandom, you and I may have the same connection to Oak Island. My connection being an article that I read, I believe it was in Reader's Digest. And this, seriously, this is probably back in the 1970s.
Yep.
And it was an article.
60s, probably.
It might have been it was an article that was taken from a Down East magazine, which is a magazine, and I believe is still published in the state of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you know, in the past, Reader's Digest would, in fact, collect articles and short stories and whatnot and condense them into things that even today's short-sighted
could find palatable.
people with a very limited attention spans like mine could actually, find.
Enjoy.
So that was my connection to Oak Island when I read this Reader's Digest article back in the early 1970s. And it has been one of those things that has always been on a back burner in my mind since I read the article. And then when the History Channel began production on The Curse of Oak Island, I was enthralled and excited because I had talked to people over the years about this article I read about this island off the coast of Nova Scotia, and, you know, that there was possibly an unbelievable pirate's treasure that was hidden via this series of water tunnels and excavations that no one could understand or explain or had any historic context to put it into. And I was like, man, it was a very convincing article at the time. And as I watched the show here in the year 2019, it is still equally convincing and still captures my imagination. But anyway, that's why I believe I should be, you know, part of your Digging Oak Island broadcast. I mean, let's face it.
Okay, so I thought what would be interesting, I think for most people, especially people who are listening to the podcast, people who are watching the show, let's face it, for a lot of people, you know, Oak Island was a popular thing around the 60s and the 70s when the article came out.
Well, it wasn't that popular.
People were aware of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it kind of, and throughout its 200 and something year treasure hunt has gone up and down and up and down. But most people who know about it now know it in context of the show.
Right.
But you, myself as well, have had interest before that.
Yes.
How do you define that? Where would you put that into the realm of things like
Sasquatch, the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah, yeah. Is it in that
UFO
realm,
or
do you consider it in that same realm, or did you, until the show started? You know, let's talk pre-show. Did you put it in that realm? Is it a Loch Ness Monster type of thing to you, or is
No. And the only reason why I didn't is because, look, so much of what we explore today is anecdotal, with, you know, bits and pieces of information. So if it's the UFO phenomena, there may be some actual radar information, or there may be, some debris that someone says contains some sort of element that we've never seen on planet Earth before. The difference between, and it is kind of interesting, and obviously the History Channel and other organizations have captured on the idea that you can put certain people into a box and they all share the same interests, whether it's Oak Island, whether it's Sasquatch, whether it's UFOs.
I understand.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm always leery of that, because the problem is that's like people who just believe in conspiracies. Well, as long as you attach a conspiracy to a phenomena or something that is known or unknown, you'll have an audience. What I found very different about the Oak Island situation was the fact that there is physical evidence that is irrefutable, and there's anecdotal evidence and well-documented that is irrefutable, which indicates that whether there is something there or nothing there, the there is there. And that's a big difference. I think the thing that's become the touchstone for all of these types of shows is, if anyone remembers, if they have a long enough memory or old enough to remember, Geraldo Rivera doing a live broadcast going into
Al Capone's
vaults in the hotel that he stayed in Chicago, lived in for many
years.
This
is sort of a 7-year long Al Capone's vault show a little bit here.
Well, yeah. But the difference is, even though nothing was found and it was done on live television when they bust through the wall.
Right.
The difference is there was a wall to bust through.
Yes.
There was a there. We know that Al Capone lived in that hotel.
Right.
We also know that the bootleggers and the organized crime people in the city of Chicago had a labyrinth of underground passageways and connections to different buildings, and this hotel was incorporated into that that crime world. And so, again,
Geraldo was there for a reason.
Yeah. So I'll just say, as I said earlier, there was a there.
Okay.
It isn't like most of the other circumstances on television. It's in so-called reality television or documented evidence.
Okay.
The bottom line is, well, there is no there other than the word of the person who tells me who says they experienced something.
Right.
So what I always was intrigued about Oak Island was there was there is physical evidence, and the physical evidence doesn't make a lot of sense, but
on its face, right?
What is the old adage that Conan Doyle used for Sherlock Holmes? Once you eliminate
the
impossible, whatever remains,
however unlikely,
is the truth.
Yeah.
And I think that is, we sort of have the Sherlock Holmes conundrum on Oak Island.
So before the show started running, in the back of your head, did you have an idea of what it might be? Was it pirate treasure in your mind? Was it something like, what do you think for the years before the show became a thing? What do you think? What was it related to in your mind?
Pirate treasure.
Yeah.
Because before any of the other theories that have been built into, you know, and there are people that find a way to mesh Albert Einstein was attempting to look for a unified field theory where he could take gravity, where he could take everything that was known through Newton's theory on the universe,
right,
and come up with the unified field theory of everything.
Okay.
Something that would explain gravity, that would explain light speed, that would explain whatever, the curvature, time, space. You know, Einstein was hoping that there would be one thing to connect everything. And I think in the when you look at these phenomena of Oak Island and Sasquatch and UFOs, there are people out there who say there is a unified field theory where we can make everything into one grand television show.
And those
people
are generally the showrunners at History Channel.
You know, so we're all going to connect, you know, the Knights Templar, the Masons, we're going to bring in ancient aliens.
Sure.
And it's all going to be all connected. There's going to be an answer to everything. But my sense of Oak Island was always about, okay, we know that there were pirates. We know that nations hired human beings to do their bidding and gave them a pass to go out and rape, pillage, and plunder, grab the gold, grab whatever else might be of any value, and take a portion for yourself,
right,
and give the rest to the royal governor or to the king or to the queen. And we know that we had these people running all over the globe on behalf of Spain, on behalf of France, on behalf of England, on behalf of even the American colonies, to go out and, you know, grab what you can on our behalf, take your percent, and then, some point we may turn on you and prosecute you and hang you anyway. So if you're a smart pirate, you may say, okay, well, maybe me and my other fellow pirates need to have a bit of an insurance policy.
Okay.
Maybe we need a retirement fund. Maybe we need an IRA.
Oh, I see where you're going here.
We need to say, hey, look, at some point, the king's going to be deposed, some new government's going to be voted in, and our ways of piracy are all of a sudden, you know, because, you know, it's like I have a saying, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Right, right.
I don't think that's my saying. I'm sure some other people have alluded to that fact, but we can see that even today in the shifting climate as how we feel about the Syrian Kurds.
Right.
You know, so my thought about Oak Island was, you know, at some point the pirates get together, like any other good organized crime organization, and say, we need to make sure that our kids are going to go to the best schools and have the fastest sailing schooners, and in order to do that, we're going to take all the booty, and we're going to come up with the National Bank of Piracy, and we are going to have the best security system on the globe. That's what my thought. Oak Island.
That's
may
what
have
you
been.
Thought it was. Okay,
and it hasn't been disproven as
it has
yet.
Not it, been
it
disproven.
Be the National
Nothing has
Bank
been disproven.
Piracy.
Right. Nothing has been disproven. So. Then the show begins.
Yes.
For a lot of people who Oak Island is a isolated place. For a long time, it was owned by two or three. One of them controlled everybody getting in and off the island. So it was very hard to get there. There are authors who have written about Oak Island since the 1960s or early 70s who've talked about how difficult it was just to get on the island and to speak to people with regards to the treasure hunt. In that time, it's largely forgotten about. Then the show begins. Do you feel that the how do I put this? Does the show benefit the mystery? Is it doing it? Is it a positive? Like, I love it because we get to see this hunt in real time. But
real edited time.
Real edited time. But we get to see it more than we ever have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, for years past, we couldn't see any of it. But now we get to see this done in canned version. Sure, an hour edited version. Is it a positive for something like this, for a mystery, that we're seeing it? Should it be that we just look for it, and if we find it, we tell us what we found, and there's no reason to watch it? You know what I mean? Like, is it good to see this stuff now? Should we be a part of this hunt? It almost feels like have all the shows about UFOs actually benefited in the search for UFOs? Like, does it do anything? Does it play only a positive, or does it put a negative spin on it as well? Do you know what I mean?
I think it comes down to a philosophical question. What's more important, the destination or the journey? And I guess guess it depends on what your goal is. If there have been treasure hunts, not a lot of successful treasure hunts, but there have been some very successful treasure hunts where the investors, and there are investors on this Oak Island group, actually do get the benefit of the pirates' retirement fund.
Sure.
and their kids get to go to the best schools.
That's right.
And
well, so far, nobody on Oak Island.
Yeah,
far. That we can pinpoint.
But the thing that becomes difficult is that if there is a negative, and the negative is simply this, and it's sort of like the current times that we're going through. We live in a political climate where the truth doesn't matter. The bottom line doesn't matter. The obfuscation becomes the new truth. The process becomes the new truth. And what was at the core just doesn't matter. And the difficulty with something like Oak Island is that there's a very good possibility, when you look at the hundreds of years of exploration, and now with this very high-tech exploration that's going on, mm-hmm. and you can combine that with the natural geological forces that occur over time,
right.
that there will maybe never, ever be, there'll be nothing to be found.
Nothing, right.
I think that's probably the greater possibility. There'll be a few bits and pieces. So the negative difficulty is a show like The Curse of Oak Island will run its course and will be replaced by
something else.
You know, the other treasure hunt du jour.
Right.
And the fact that Oak Island truly is and was something will be lost to history, even though it's on the History Channel, and will be lost, you know. So when someone mentions Oak Island, 10 years or 10 minutes from now,
right.
The person will say, the response will be, oh, that was all BS, because
nothing was found,
and it was a bunch of malarkey, and it was just put on by some media conglomerate. Yeah. And there's a difficulty with that because so many of the mysteries that we have are literally and figuratively underground. And we know through history, man has constructed unbelievable structures beneath the ground.
Sure.
Whether it was the ancient Christians
or the Knights Templar
trying to escape from the Romans,
right.
And building the catacombs, great there are great salt mines
sure.
that have been turned into cathedrals and labyrinths of exquisite design. And even though we may not have even known what the purpose was of those spaces, they exist. And they are a source of wonder and a source of mystery. So the difficulty is here that, in essence, we do know that something very complex, no matter who the source of that complexity was built underground
right.
on this island.
Right.
And it wasn't built as a test project. It wasn't like, you know, human beings just say, well, we got nothing else to do today. Let's see if we can build a series
right, right.
of floodable water tunnels at different depths with sealing, you know,
sure.
Sediments against
right, right,
the
right,
ocean.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so I...
At a time that goes back to before mechanized vehicles,
yeah.
when doing anything of that sort yeah. is an incredibly laborious task.
Yeah.
You know, that's just incredible.
You know, it's like building the pyramids. It's
exactly
like,
right.
The engineering is phenomenal.
It's beyond us.
The manpower has to be phenomenal. The insights have to be phenomenal. The knowledge that goes into it. And so the thing that disturbs me is that with how we design the hunt today may nullify the real mystery and treasure that is the ingenuity of human beings in the past.
So I have a question about the show I want to get on. But before we do that, I'm always fascinated about, you know, doing this podcast, I'm always fascinated about the different responses you get on various social media things, you know, and I'm always flummoxed by people who can't believe that they just watched this hour-long show and they didn't find anything. When are they going to find something? Are they going to find anything? When are they going to find something? I mean, they've been trying for 220 years. You think they're just going to find it because the History Channel put a camera in front of them? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think now we're at a point where the getting to the bottom of what was done and who did it is the treasure. You know, I don't know that there's a treasure
the
to be found.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cracking the code on what this was.
Yeah.
What is all this? What are we seeing here? I mean, you dug up 160-something foot area of beach and laid down coconut fiber. I mean, who does this and why? It's that's almost more fascinating than any jewels they could pull out. I mean, I don't really care about that stuff. I'm not going to benefit from that at all, you know. But what I wanted to ask you was the show and how reality TV handles this kind of thing. A lot of people, the biggest complaint people have about the show, I just mentioned, you know, they didn't find anything, but it's also the way it's edited, the way it's cut, the way you see things. As a viewer of reality TV shows and all of these type of things, because I know you're interested in the UFO
sure.
things and all that. You're
sure,
interested
yeah.
in all that.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think about how that kind of stuff is presented, specifically on Oak Island, but also in the greater world here.
My particular criticism of the show is it reminds me of watching, and did I say this to you or someone else recently, or maybe a couple of people, it reminds me of watching Adam West in the old Batman series back in the 1960s, the way the unbelievable surprise of the narrator every time someone burps is...
Could it have been a burp from Knights Templar?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, tune in next week for...
Yeah.
And will Robin go down in the vat of acid? And will Batman swing in enough time? And will Commissioner Gordon...
Right, right, right.
That aspect of the production, I believe... does a great disservice to the fact that the main characters who are brilliant, committed human beings, the Laginas,
yeah,
the
Laginas, their partners, yeah.
I mean, these are guys that know engineering, These guys obviously have money from other interests, and they're doing other shows now, or at least the hunt for Civil War.
Yeah, they're getting involved in other things. Yeah, with the show.
But they have great expertise and great knowledge, and they are seriously committed, as has every human being who's ever been committed to a hunt for treasure.
Sure.
Countless men. The interesting thing is, I don't know any woman who's ever died looking for treasure. But a lot of foolish males through the history.
Why do you think that is?
Through the history of our species.
My wife pointed that out.
Like, it's like, oh, we're going to find Jesse James's gold.
Yeah,
we're going to find the lost gold from the Japanese submarine.
Yeah,
you know, it's like.
It's usually guys. Usually it's white guys.
It's guys. You know, it's a male thing.
Kind of older.
But you know what? But these guys are committed, and they are serious, and they have expertise. They also respect the history. They respect the island. I know they're committed to putting the island back to what it was and not leaving it, you know, a cofferdam, and, you know, because they're dictated now by the government to do that as well as should be. But that's what disturbs me, because there is a really serious and committed nature to the show, and yet when you look at the presentation, it is I hate to say it, it's a little bush league.
I think a lot of people would agree with you
know, I think
a lot of people would agree with you. I mean, I think that the silly, you know, I told you in that same conversation about when you were talking about Adam West last week, my wife goes around and counts every time she sees somebody nodding. So because all they do is cut to people giving these affirmations. Yeah, that could be the Knights Templar, you know, and you see every guy around the table nodding. There's like 12 people there talking about an old iron spike that for some reason the narrator connects to the Romans or something, you know, all sorts of things. They all nod with these affirmations and all these weird and she counts them all. When she gets to about 50, she usually stops. But that's only 10 minutes into the show. You know, so yeah, the show does have its challenges for sure. But when you watch a show like this, do you think you're getting, how much of what you're watching do you think is what really happened?
Well, you know.
And I say that about like all of these.
Yeah. And
finding Bigfoot, ghost hunters, all of these reality-based hunting shows. Are you actually seeing this being done, or do you think you're seeing reacted, you know?
I guess.
Recreated is the word I'm looking for the camera.
You know, I always make fun of people who actually believe that professional wrestling is real.
Wait.
But then there,
it's not?
There are probably a segment, an enlightened segment of the population that would look at me and say, oh, I can't believe you believe every show on the History Channel is real. I mean, the problem with sometimes, and not to cast aspersions on the History Channel, because I don't want you to lose a sponsor here, Dave.
I don't have a sponsor.
But, you know, but after they realize that enough people realize that the Germans would always lose the Second World War.
Yeah.
They decided they had to morph into some other type of history.
Right.
So then it's sort of like, well, I can recategorize everything that in the past is history.
You know,
So yesterday's lunch is history.
Yeah.
You know, and if I package it correctly, I may be able to have a viable piece of TV programming.
That's so funny.
But, you know, so that's what's kind of disturbing about the whole process. So it reminds me of Mick Mulvaney coughing recently when Donald Trump was being interviewed in the Oval Office, and Trump had him stop the tape because someone coughed.
So, yes, I remember that.
You know, so I don't know exactly, with any of these
shows. Do you feel like you're getting? Do you feel it's honest? Do you feel they really pulled? This is a question I get a lot. Do you think they really found a 14th century lead cross under a rock on the beach?
Yes, I do. I actually, for whatever reason, and I could be 100% wrong.
I do too, by the way.
But when I look at, when I look at the human beings that have sat in that war room in Oak Island,
right,
and knowing about the as foolish as male behavior may be on so many levels, but every treasure hunter has always had this commitment and this belief that this is the day,
this is it,
that I'm going to find it.
They really do.
You know, it's like that guy at the table in Las Vegas. You know, I'm gonna put the whole. I'm gonna put the mortgage and my firstborn on the table,
yep,
because the next roll, the dice is mine. And when you look around that war room, and when you look at the Laginas, you know that these guys, for better or for worse, are committed and truly believe in what they're doing. And I'm saying this specifically about The Curse of Oak Island. I've seen other shows, whether it be countless ghost hunters or countless people looking for ancient aliens or whatever the case may be. You know, you it doesn't take much to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, it really doesn't.
You know, the other thing that always there's that connection. Every one of these guys over 200 and something years have said, you know, today's the day we find that one thing. And they've also all started the beginning in saying, I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do something no one else has ever tried before. You know, they all come into it with that same idea. And it's a fascinating thing.
You see, I have a simple solution to the Curse of Oak Island.
Okay.
Because if you look at the intro, you know, and it reminds me of like a bad Pirates of the Caribbean song or something, but you know, that like almost like, well, seven must die,
yes,
in order,
yes,
for the curse,
yes,
to,
yes,
be,
yes,
broken.
Yes, it does.
Is it seven?
It is seven.
And the number seven is a number that
shows up
everywhere.
That
shows up universally.
Everywhere. Yep.
But now, actually, in the course of the show, and I've been watching it, you know, from the beginning. Well, a number of people have died, you know,
right?
But they were either aged out, or there was sadly, and I forget who it was, but one of the younger members of the cast had died,
right? Right. Craig Tester's son, yeah.
But not necessarily in the quest, the direct quest.
Right. He didn't die at the bottom of a pit,
you know. So I think a simple solution is to find a really dedicated...
You suggest killing somebody off.
A real dedicated viewer of the show to volunteer to be sacrificed. You know, just like when the, you know, the people in the Polynesian island chains or whatever,
sure,
would throw a virgin into the volcano.
That's a great analogy.
So if they were to find a really dedicated,
it's a grisly idea you have here,
and I'm sure they would probably
apply
in droves.
They probably would.
And if they were to drop them live,
tens of thousands of people,
into the money pit, or drown them in Smith's Cove, whatever the case may be. Bury them
as long as they have a shovel with them.
You know, bury them in the swamp,
yeah,
with a Knights Templar cross.
Right.
Then the curse would, the skies would open up, the lightning would strike, and the gold
and the
would,
Ark
would,
of the
would,
Covenant would rise.
Would arise from the depths of the money pit.
Oh,
and
great,
the History Channel could move on to the next show.
So before we wrap this up,
I thought that was a wrap.
I want to ask you this question before we let you go here. What would you call your current workable theory for Oak Island at this point? Do you have one? Do you have one you lean towards? Do you have more than one?
I think you mentioned before
that you feel that more likely than not, they're going to find nothing there.
Yeah,
But I believe
there was certainly something there. I absolutely believe that all this engineering and construction
for something
was done with a purpose.
Right.
Human beings, you know, other than getting elected to Congress, tend to have a purpose behind large scale endeavors. But I am no longer leaning toward the National Retirement Bank
for Captain Kidd's children,
organized piracy.
Right. Organized.
I actually tend toward the possibility of the Templars, who had, number one, the resources,
sure,
had the expertise, had the engineering capabilities, had good reason because they had to move their operations and whatever they may have picked up along the way, whether it be in the Holy Lands or throughout Europe. You know, so while the papacy was hunting them down and other governments, they were equivalent to, during the old British Empire, there was the conglomerate that was probably the East India Tea Company,
right,
in terms of wealth and capabilities. You know, they're modern,
operating outside of the government.
Yeah. They're modern corporations today, whether it be ExxonMobil or whatever, have the money, the expertise, and the wherewithal to eclipse the capabilities of most nations on this planet.
And the Templars were a great example of that at that time.
Exactly, yeah. With the exception of a few superpowers. And the Templars are exactly that. They were sort of, for whatever their purpose was, they were the ExxonMobil of the moment. And they would have had not only the capabilities, but perhaps good reason to skirt away their treasures. So I would lean toward the Templars, or perhaps even some other ancient groups, because we know of the Viking explorations here in the New World long before, you know, Western Europeans came to the continent. When you look at some of the other ancient sites, like the Mound people out in Ohio,
sure.
There have been other groups that were in the Americas long before the age of modern exploration during the European moves into this area. So, I lean toward the Templars, but the possibility that maybe even a group further back may have had some. You know, the other thing that, and I have another theory that, and I really actually pulled this out of last night's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Was we look at Oak Island as a bottom-up bit of excavation. But I wonder if there may not be the possibility that the island was built from the top down and not the bottom up. There is an ancient site in North Africa where it is believed at one point that the Ark of the Covenant actually may have been.
Right.
There are a series of churches, cathedrals, that were actually carved down into a plateau. They still exist today. You can visit them. I think they're in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But from space, they look like some, you know, design on top of a plateau. You know, when you get into the actual construction, they were built from the top down. And I know there's talk now that Oak Island may have been two islands at one point. And when you look at some of the flooding possibilities, yeah, and some of the construction, I'm just wondering if maybe it was it may not be as we sense it to be. Maybe it was actually a top down design and not bottom up.
Does that lead you to any conclusions on who could have done something like that?
No, but it leads me to the possibility of extending the show for another five frickin' years.
Do you think the show will end with any kind of resolution, or do you think this will just go quietly into the night one day?
You know,
give up, retire.
I thought the ghost hunters from Rhode Island were going to go into the night quietly, but they wound up coming back out of
the attic
this year, so who knows?
Yeah, but they don't have a goal. That's the interesting thing about this show, is that how does it end? I mean, if you do a show about hunting UFOs, you're going to just stop, you know, because it's not a connected show. It's one after another.
Yeah.
I forget the phraseology for that, but it's not one long soap opera like this is. You know, this is one long connected thread.
I don't know. I don't know if.
How do you get to the end of it if you don't find something?
Yeah, that's a good question. And
I don't know that the History Channel's thought of that yet. I mean, are we going to have to wake up in the shower when it's all a dream or something? Is this going to be like a Dallas thing? Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So that'll do it for this episode of Digging Oak Island. Like I said at the top of the show, I promise On the next podcast, we're going to turn our attention right back to the Curse of Oak Island show. We'll get back to go over episodes 3 and 4, and we'll talk about whatever those things bring us. I ask that you subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts. If you do enjoy the show, please rate and review us on iTunes, wherever you listen. That really helps get the word out on the show, and that's really the whole point of all of this. I invite you to follow us on Facebook and now on Twitter as well. You can find both of those pages at Diggin' Oak Island. You know, you can leave your comments there about the shows or about, you know, anything, you any questions you have or any, you know, any conversation you want to have, fellow listeners. It's all can be done right there on those platforms. And if you have any questions or comments that you want to send to me directly rather than via social media, I always invite you to do so. You can email me at digginoakisland@gmail.com, and maybe your question or your comment will be read on a future podcast. So until we speak again, I'm Dave McBride, and I thank you for listening to Diggin' Oak Island.